It's the end of the franchise as we know it, and I feel fine.
Fine. Not necessarily fine that the franchise is ending because I was desperate for it to end, because I have had a lovely time.
I've had a lovely time as well. I'm just generally feeling fine. Hello. Welcome to the Bitter End Podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. And this is our fifth visit to the Bitter End. We're at the end of a franchise for the fifth time, our fifth season. Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, 2010. It's here, baby. This is the end of it.
All we got to do is get to the end of this film and we have defeated it. How do you think we're going to fare? Because this is the remake.
Well, I read an article on the internet today that mentioned that Heather Langenkamp, star of the original Nightmare on Elm Street, pops up in Dream Warriors, pops up in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, that she refuses to watch this film. And I can get why she might feel kind of a little hurt by its existence or...
A bit protective of it.
But I'm the opposite of Heather. I'm super keen to see it reinvented. Not least because I know a lot of our listeners are going to have disagreed with us. But when we did season one, we actually kind of liked the Friday the 13th remake, which was produced by a little baby called Mickey Bay, Michael Bay himself.
The Babenator.
Babe, the sheep pig.
Yes, we'll just call him Babe from now on. So
how did he produce a movie that was actually watchable that time? And... He has also produced this remake. Will he be able to pull that cat out of that bag again?
I wonder, like, if it's just how much he wants to get in, how much he gets involved. Like, I don't know. We'll see if there's some Bayisms in there. There'll be some explosions, some boobs, and just everyone feeling a little bit sad by the end. Maybe, maybe not. We watched the trailer.
What did you think of it, Tom?
Well, the trailer begins with Freddy Krueger, not played by Bobby UK, played by the dude who played Rorschach in Watchmen. His name is Jackie Earl Haley? Haley?
How'd you spell that? The Haley bit.
H-A-L-E-Y.
Haley.
Haley.
Like Haley Joel Osment.
Jackie Earl Haley.
Well, I loved him as Rorschach.
Yeah, and he's a funny-looking bloke. He's a creepy-looking bloke. You imagine that he could do a good Krueger. Now, what I liked at the beginning is you get the trailer, you got this clip of him being hunted down by the parents of Elm Street, and he's not this... Every time you see a non-dead Freddy in all the other films, he appears like he's cartoon villainy. Whereas in this, he's terrified, he's like... he's saying, like, what do you think I did? I didn't do it. Or, you know, all this kind of stuff. I like that different slant on him.
Yeah, exactly. It was really, really interesting. A cool way to launch the trailer. So you got this desperate man running through the town. He's being chased by a bunch of people without knowing what the film's about. You know, if you just see this, you're going to be on his side. He's like, leave me alone, I didn't do anything. They lock him up in a room. They set it on fire. He, for some reason, pulls his jacket off, and underneath he's got a jumper, and you're like, oh, hello, I recognise that jumper. Stripy red and brown jumper. And then they're like, you're gonna burn, Krueger. And then straight away you know, and you're like, ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah, and then you just get a lot of just familiar... like sort of redone Elm Street tropes, like the little girl skipping, like that iconic kind of like Elm Street style house. Some scenes look like they are redoing classic scenes from the original film. So you've got the razor glove in the bath. You've got like sort of Freddy scraping his nail, those razor claws along like pipes in the boiler room.
You've got a girl floating off the bed, and Tom, something that attracted my attention, which I wonder if you spotted it, quite a lot of shots of a pool party.
I did spot a pool party.
A la Freddy's Revenge Part 2.
The barbecue from hell returns. Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about them redoing scenes from the original. I think that was Heather Langenkamp's, like, she was like, I don't want to see things redone that we worked really hard on. And maybe it's because we've literally just bashed through all these films. I want to see something new.
Yeah.
I don't need to see like a reimagined creepy bath scene because
we've done that. And they nailed it pretty well the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we better go just poke our noses in this thing and find out how well they've done. But before we do, Tom, we're going to have to play that IMDb guessing game for the last time this season. So just to recap, this movie was made in 2010. Mm. The previous movie, Freddy vs. Jason, that was 2003.
So okay.
It's been quite a gap.
Yeah.
Freddy vs. Jason got a 5.8.
Okay. I don't know a lot about this film, but I know it wasn't like mad crazy received because they haven't done another one. So I'm going to say maybe it's going to go down, but maybe not too much, like a 4.7.
Quite a bit better than that, Tom.
Ooh.
It does go down from Freddy vs. Jason, yeah. But not by much. It's a 5.2.
Solid.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking hell.
This franchise. Everybody loves it. It's
bulletproof.
Yeah, exactly. The franchise that couldn't die.
Yeah. It's just those crazy dream tadpoles. They'll do it for you. Deep cut, folks. Right. Should we go in?
Let's go in. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it lived up to the not hype of not being a well-received remake.
Yeah. This movie...
Yeah.
This movie had it all on a platter.
Yeah.
It could have been so good.
Yeah, you've got, like, a great original and a great idea to riff off. You've got a guy who could potentially do a good Freddy Krueger. There's a load of other people in this movie. Clancy Brown's in this fucking film.
What, Tom? Is that the Clancy Brown, a.k.a. the villain from Highlander?
Yeah, the Kurgan, Mr. Krabs himself, he is in this film. The main girl playing Nancy is Rooney Mara, who was in like the American version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She's pretty good. There's that creepy-looking guy out of Veronica Mars. He's in there. But
yeah, they fucked it. Sorry, guys, they fucked it. Mm. And I really, really gave it a fair shake. And it swiftly became apparent that 75% of this film is a spooky dream sequence within a spooky dream sequence.
Oh, fucking hell.
Constantly. It's like someone's doing something and then like Freddy will just pop up from behind a thing and go, bleh.
So little of this film is based in reality.
But not in, and I get it that Freddy stalks people in their dreams and can hurt them, but this is the kind of shit where like, he's not even hurting them. It's just like you go to the diner and you order a burger and then the waitress has Freddy Krueger's face. Then you look up and it's the real waitress and she brings your burger. Then the burger has Freddy's face. And then you wake up again and then you eat the burger, but then you're Freddy. And then you wake up again and you're walking into the diner to order the burger and 15 minutes have passed and nothing's actually happened yet.
Yeah, there's nothing, like there's so little that is happening in reality. And I know that like in a Nightmare on Elm Street film, yeah, it's about spooky dreams.
Oh, spooky dreams.
Yeah, spooky dreams. And those are the bits that everybody likes. And, you know, spooky dream. But if the vast majority of your film is spooky dreams, you know what they mean? Nothing.
Doesn't mean nothing. It's extra bad because the remaining 25% that does happen in reality, do you know what it is? Carbon copy, shot for shot, remakes of famous scenes from the first film.
You know what else it is? Just people fucking whispering.
Oh my god, so much whispering all of the
It's 2010 and we're all whispering because this is a very po-faced film.
It's so
taking
like,
itself fucking seriously.
Yeah. It's really like everything has got an incredible amount of import in it.
But then it was a spooky dream.
Spooky dream.
Fucking hell.
All right, Tom, you better walk us through it.
Okay, do you know what happens at the beginning of the film? After it says one of the many, many producers produced by Michael Bay. Also, was it produced by Matey Boy who did Robert Shay from Around the Way. So after we hear about them, we are in a diner.
It's called the Springwood Diner.
Very nice. So we're in Springwood, Ohio. Oh, it's a spooky dream.
Oh, my God. Oh,
fuck. Instantly, you've got this guy called Dean, who I assume we're meant to think he's a teenager, but he's like this utterly roided out bro in his late 20s. And he's in the diner, he's asking for some coffee, but then the diner waitress just walks past him. And he, no matter how much he calls to her, she doesn't come back, doesn't pay any attention. And he follows her into the kitchen, which is all on fire and full of pig heads.
And spooky pig heads?
Spooky pig heads. Because he's all like, whoa, what the fuck? And then Freddy Krueger goes, whoa! And then he wakes up. Oh, spooky dream. So the first bit of this film is a spooky dream. Freddy Krueger has gone, boo, like within the first 5 minutes. That's just a bit, and I'm just, it set the, we were a little bit, I don't know. Like, it looks nice, it's very nicely shot, it's taking itself very seriously, it's trying very hard to be atmospheric and scary. And then we've got this exchange in the diner.
Very whispery exchange.
Some very whispery, so we've got this guy Dean, he is chatting to his girlfriend Chris about how he can't sleep and all his nightmares. We've also got Nancy, the new Nancy. She's working at the diner. And there is a spooky guy from Veronica Mars, Quentin. He is in the diner with his douchey mate, Jesse. Jesse is annoyed because he used to go out with Chris. Now Chris is going out with Dean. Don't get too attached to any of them. So they fuck off. And then you've just got Dean and Chris. And like Chris is like, I'm going for a shit. I'll be back in a minute. Or something like that. She gets up and leaves. And Dean's like, oh, okay, well, I just hope I don't have a spooky dream. What happens?
He just waits and then she comes back and then they pay and leave. Tom, that was a spooky dream. No. So what happens is he gets nobbled by Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it's quite cool actually, because Freddy just pops up and is kind of like, I'm not Bobby, I'm proper not Bobby UK. And he grabs a steak knife off the table and is going to stab it in Dean's neck. And Dean's like, you're not real, you're not real. Then we cut to like the non-dream world and you've just got Dean just standing there on his own looking like a mentalist going, you're not real. And then slits his throat from side to side.
It's not so bad.
That's pretty kind of like, ooh, bit grim. And then we go to Dean's funeral.
Dean's funeral. And
do you know what happens at Dean's funeral?
Does somebody deliver a lovely eulogy and then they all go home and like eat some salad and share their favourite memories of their friend Dean?
Well, I mean, that might have happened.
it's a spooky dream.
Oh, okay. Chris has a spooky dream. Oh my God.
What, at the funeral?
See, at the funeral, there's like this spooky girl stood over the spooky grave. And then she's looking at some spooky photos, funeral photos of Dean as a youngster. And she recognises herself. And she's like, but I didn't know Dean when I was a kid. That's spooky, isn't it?
That's a little bit spooky.
Yeah. And then there are some exchanges at the funeral. So Mr. Krabs, Clancy Brown, the Kurganator himself, he shows up. He's like the principal at the school.
Yeah.
He's also
Quentin's dad.
Mm. And he talks to Nancy and he's like, oh, we're really sorry that, you know, this has happened. We're setting up like a emergency. They're doing something at the school. It doesn't matter. It doesn't pay come into this at
And then
all.
He walks off doing his Kurgan laugh.
You'll never get me Krabby Patties. So that shows up. And you just sit up. When Clancy Brown is in a film, you go like, I assume he's being a baddie. Because he's Clancy Brown. And then you've got like Chris talking to Nancy, being all like, talking about what Dean was saying about not believing and the nightmares and you're not real and all this shit. And Jesse's like, why don't you shut the fuck up and leave Chris alone? She's been through enough shit. Yeah. They're all hiding something, aren't they? Then, Nancy has a... You know, like in the first film when there's that awesome bit with the latex wall?
Oh, I love that bit. That bit's so good.
So you'd like to see like a little harking back to that in this?
I suppose a little bit, yeah.
Well, no, you don't, because they did it with CGI and it looks shit!
It looks so poor. She's lying in bed, the wall behind her, there's Freddy pressing his face through the wall, but it's rope-a-dope, like Michael Bay Transformers CGI, and yeah. It's pants.
Yeah, so there's Nancy having that spooky dream. Go to Chris. She wants to find her like photos of her as a kid, so she can go and find out, like, well, did I know Dean back then? That's a bit odd, isn't it? I don't remember knowing this guy for, like, you know, my whole life. Chris's mum's like, oh, I think they're probably up in the attic. Spooky attic over the spooky garage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Goes up there. She looks through a box.
What does she find?
Oh, it was a spooky dream all along, because Freddy jumps out at her and wakes her up, and then she's all like, ah! Go to school.
What? Isn't that where... Do they go to school? Or yes, they do go to school, sorry.
Mm.
They go to school. And then she's in school, and she's listening to the history teacher reading a report, and she's concentrating. And what happens is she opens up the book, she's flicking through the book, and she finds it very educational and learns an awful lot about history and goes off, gets a good degree, good job, and all works out well for her.
Oh my God.
No, that was a spooky dream. Actually, the book is full of blood, and then all of her classmates explode into dust, and then Freddy's at the head of the class, and he's like, hello, remember me? I'm Fake Freddy. And then she wakes up and it was a spooky dream and none of it mattered.
She runs off. Douchebag Jesse's quite concerned. Jesse's got a very punchable face, I'm just going to say. He's just, there's something about him, he's just annoying. So Chris's mum works as like a steward on an air.
Like, she's like an air steward, yeah.
So she's like, I've got to go on a flight to London, to the Bobby UK. I'll be back later on. Don't get, like, murdered by any dream monsters while I'm away. Yeah, okay, cool. She's in the house feeling a bit spooky. Jesse pops up at the window, kind of like a bit like a spooky Sam from Clarissa Explains It All. They both discover that they've both been dreaming about the same guy. And then, like, she's like, don't leave me. And he's like, oh, I definitely won't leave you. We assume that they bone down.
Yeah, we don't see it, but there's some implied bonage.
And then, you know, like, was it like Jesse's asleep? Chris gets up, has a bit of a walk around the house.
As you do in the middle of the night.
Yeah, goes out into the garden to find her dog. And she finds the dog. And it's a really lovely dog. And the next day she discovers, like, she's really good at training the dog. And they go and enter, like, a dog show. And they win best in show. And then they get, like a dog food endorsement.
Wow.
And they make a lot of money. And they do really well. And then the dog ends up being in, like, the new reboot of Air Bud.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Spooky dream. Because, Freddy killed the dog.
Oh, no. The dog's dead.
The dog died in the spooky dream. And then she wakes up in the bed. And she's like, oh, fucking hell, that was a spooky dream, wasn't it? And she's like, oh, I'm glad I'm just here with Jesse. I'm just going to lie back down and go to sleep.
Phew. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. No, that was a spooky dream, because Freddy's in the bed with her.
Oh, you don't want that.
No, you don't want that, because then he kills her something rotten.
This is where we get the repeat of the, like, what I call the gravity room, where they've kind of flipped the set of the room upside down, and the girl's, like, rolling around on the ceiling. And, you know, that's arguably one of the most memorable things about the entire franchise, is that scene from the first film.
Mm.
They do it here, and hat tip to the makers of this film. I did not enjoy this film. They do this bit okay. It's not so bad. You pointed it out. One of the interesting twists is that, yeah, she's sort of... They don't go full gravity room. It's not like up is down and down is up. She's levitating.
Well, because they've done it with CGI, so the mechanics of the movement aren't the same. It's not an upside down room, but
she's just floating. Mm. But then there's this cool sort of element where we still don't see Freddy, but he's, like, slamming her against the walls and the ceiling and just, like, bam, 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 which looks really painful. And then she plops back down on the bed, and then some slashes appear on her nightgown.
Yeah, so I think, like, the best, like, the more scary bit was her just kind of, like, being bludgeoned against the wall.
Really, really horrible. Like, that bit was okay.
Yeah. So then Jesse's like, oh, shit, son. He does a runner.
Yeah. Because he's the musician type.
He's covered in blood, and he's like, well, I'd better run, I guess. I mean, there's no evidence here that I actually killed her, but, you know, I'm covered in blood. So he goes and runs, trips the burglar alarm as he leaves the house. He goes to Nancy's and is like, I'm covered in blood, Nancy, fuck. And then, like, yes, I agree. Yes. And then he's like, I will run now. Ah, fuck.
This is genuinely what all the dialogue is like.
Oh, it is. I mean, a lot of it's a bit more whispered than that. Fuck. Fuck, I'm covered in blood. Oh, my God. Chris is dead. And he gets arrested. You send him to prison. He has a spooky dream. Fucking dies.
Yeah, in a really, like, again, the musician type prison death in the first film was a bit boring. This one's a bit boring.
Freddy just drags him into a boiler room.
Yeah.
Like he likes to do. The thing that was cool about his death is that Freddy basically, like, slashes him through his chest, pretty standard fare. But in the dream, and so he, like, appears dead in reality, but in the dream world he's still alive. And then Freddy is saying, did you know that, like, after your heart stops, your brain stays alive for 7 minutes, which means I'm, you know, it's like, we've got 7 more minutes to play. So that's, I think that was quite cool, like this idea of, like, oh yeah, you're fucking dead, but you're mine, like, this, that's not the worst thing that's going to happen to you.
Yeah, that's a good line. Mm. And this is also maybe a good point to talk a little bit about how this film deals with Freddy Krueger's face.
Yeah. So how do you feel about his face?
So, listener, let me tell you that the face is rancid. It is really horrible.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the Bobby UK Freddy Krueger, his facial makeup changes from film to film, but it's that kind of, all the way through, it's that kind of, like, slightly bubbly,
kind of like a spider's web of
skin,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's, what they've basically done is there's, like, these deep red circles or, like, ovals, like, dotted all around his face, and that's kind of it. Whereas with this, it is so much more realistically modelled on a burns victim, which is why that face is supposed to be fucked up. Like, his kind of lips are partially gone, his nose has been eaten away a bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, like, these deep red splotches. It's just his whole head is, like, scar tissue.
Yeah.
It is chillingly realistic, I would say.
Yeah.
And I like that design, I like that look.
Mm.
What I will say is the prosthetics of it are so dense and thick to build all of that scar tissue up that matey boy, what is it, Jackal Healy, is that the guy's name playing
Jackie
Freddy?
Jackie boy
he has no facial mobility to act in this because he's just like under like layer upon layer upon layer of rubber, so when his face doesn't move he looks really like visceral and nasty. And then when he tries to speak, he's kind of a bit like this. Hello, yes, hello, remember me.
You owe my children now.
Because he just can't really move his face properly, poor lad.
Yeah. What did you think of him as Freddy? Like, aside from, like, the look.
I really wanted to give him a fair shout, and I think I need to, pardon the pun, sleep on it. Because he's a shorter man than Bobby UK. He's not tall at all. He's probably about the same height as the girl playing Nancy. And that is kind of scary-ish as him being this, like, creepy, like, child molester murderer guy, like, in the real world. But as your, like, slasher film villain, he's not very physically imposing.
Yeah, no, I didn't mind him. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that he was doing a bad job. They didn't do kind of like the same, that pitched down Freddy voice thing. It was a little bit more measured. Like, you know, like the performance is a little bit more, he was like kind of like holding something back. I mean, he's definitely kind of, it feels like he's in it too much because he's jumping up and going, boo! So many times.
Yeah.
Because there's so many spooky dreams. But I don't think, you know, I think fair play to him. I think, like, trying to follow up on Bobby UK is a difficult job. And I think he does, he tries his best at...
I like that guy as an actor.
Mm.
I just don't necessarily know that he was given the fairest shot.
Yeah, I agree. So back to the story at hand. So now we've got, it's just Nancy and Quentin left now, isn't it? So
they're trying to find out more about this guy. They keep dreaming about Freddy Krueger. Quentin keeps using this search engine called Gigablast, which me and Tom are like, why do these movies always have to have like a fake search engine in them?
They're like drinking Gigablast or Bing.
Yeah, they're drinking Red Bull, but they can't use Google. And then Tom checks it out, ironically, by Googling it.
Yeah.
And Gigablast is a real thing. So hats off to you, Gigablast.
Yeah, for getting your product placement in this film, of all places.
Maybe a bigger deal in 2010 than you are now in 2017, but yes. You know, I'm going to be gigablasting my way through some trivia for this movie in the morning.
Yes, very, very unusual.
They're trying to do their research and they find out that all of them went to school together, basically. And Nancy's mum is like, no, you're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to know you went to school together. We tried to keep that secret from you.
Yeah, well, they find that out by going through Nancy's mum's shit. And they find a load of hidden things. And it seems like Freddie keeps on... Is he, like, hinting at them that he wants them to find something? Or, like, they just kind of start putting stuff together. And during this time, you know, there's some very quick flash cut spooky dreams where you know someone will be just walking down a hallway and then Freddy will go boo and they go oh.
We get the
that was nothing, you know.
We get two carbon copies from the first film. We get the bathroom scene with the claw coming up between her legs. The camera is framed exactly the same. It's a repeat, except you don't get that cool bit where she gets sucked under the water and then the bath is impossibly deep. So we get a shit version of it, basically. We get a bit where they're in school and the dead friend is in a body bag being dragged down the hall. Only we then don't get that cool bit where she like sits up and in the body bag and is like, come and play with me. We don't get that. No, she just gets dragged away and then... It's like
the bath scene really annoyed me because for one thing, Nancy gets in the bath and sets an alarm on her phone to wake herself up because she's going to get in the bath and fall asleep. It's like, that is, you don't get in the bath purposefully to have a sleep because you know what you could do? You could die. And then, the claw hand pops up between her legs. It goes away. She gets up out the bath. She goes and dries off. And then Freddy pops up and goes, boo. Spooky dream. And then she's all like, oh no, but I set my alarm. It's like, no, you set your alarm in a dream. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
She dreamt that she set the alarm.
But then the phone rings.
Then the phone rings.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Dreams within dreams. This is why people complained about Inception.
Yeah, that irked me.
So this is where we get the big, like, exposition-y flashback, basically. Is at this point when Nancy's mum starts to sort of hit him with the lowdown, which is that they were all at preschool together, and there was a guy at the school who was, like, I guess the gardener?
He was the gardener, and he lived in the basement of the school.
And this is Jackie Earl Healy. This is Freddy Krueger.
Oh, Jackie boy.
Yeah. And they're like, he lived for the kids. And there's this, like, montage of him having a great time with the kids, playing hide and seek, doing, like, art projects with them, and just being a great old guy.
Yeah.
And then has a lovely life, marries, settles down, goes and moves to a nice retirement community in Florida and dies happily in his sleep. that didn't happen. No, actually he... Whew.
They
no, he goes to win Wimbledon, representing the US, the highest title.
Oh God,
that was a dream within a dream as well.
Oh my God, when will it end?
Oh my God,
so
no.
The parents find, like, scratch marks on the kids and they start to feel that, like, something is going on, that he's been, like, fiddling with the kids. But then they're like, so what happened to Freddy Krueger? And it's like, oh, yeah, he moved. He moved away before we could confront him and the police can't find him. He's gone now. He's definitely gone.
Don't worry about it and definitely don't look into it.
Yeah, definitely don't look into that. And then
don't gigablast it.
Don't gigablast it. But Nancy will not stop gigablasting. She's researching the other kids that went to this school because she's like, well, why don't we remember that we all went to school together? I guess they've all got joint, like, post-traumatic stress.
Repressed memories, yeah.
But in a way that all of these kids have all completely forgotten. All these kids that they grew up with, but they are still growing up with. You know what I mean? Like, I forgot that I ever knew you, but we're still going to high school together.
I think they all thought they just met at high school.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. That's not, they just kind of like go like, PTSD.
The brain is a very complicated thing.
Spooky dream.
Smoke and mirrors. Then we get this bit with Marcus Young, right? Which is one of the guys that Nancy finds on Gigablast, who was one of the classmates as well. And he has got, get this, Tom, the rate the technology moves, I find it really hard to keep up with. He's got a thing called a video blog.
A personal video blog. Explain this to me, Todd. I mean, I could look it up on Gigablast, but I'd rather you explain it to me.
Oh no, yeah, like don't trouble the busy people at Gigablast with this request. I will just explain it to you. It is a page on the World Wide Web where you go there and it says Marcus Young, the guy's name, and you click that, right, and then it shows you like a video on your computer.
Do I have to put a tape in or something?
No, it's just on the internet. And it's free. And it's this, like, nobody kid that no one even remembers. The people that went to school with him don't even remember.
Yeah.
So it's quite a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just talking into his camera every day, just sharing his thoughts.
And what are his thoughts about?
His thoughts are all about spooky dreams that he's been having. Okay. So no wonder this video of some 18-year-old kid from the middle of nowhere talking about his dreams, no wonder it's one of the most popular sites in the entire internet.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes perfect sense.
And he's talking about his spooky dreams, and they're all about Freddy Krueger, who's trying to lead him to this school that he can't remember, because I think Freddy wants me to find something in that school.
Mm.
And then he finishes a video, he gets to the end of the video, he just stops talking, and he just sits there, just a good 10 seconds of him not saying anything while the camera's rolling. And then, just as you do, obviously.
That's what his fans like. He knows what the fans like.
That's the hot Marcus Young action.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, his head slams into the camera. The camera goes to like VHS-style static, and he is dead. Now, I've got a few problems with this scene.
Hit me, please.
Okay, number one, if you're recording digital video, okay, and the video suddenly cuts out, it wouldn't go to static. It would just stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, he's filming that on a webcam, which if you smashed your face into it, would at most give you like a small red patch on your forehead. It would not kill you dead.
Yeah.
Right? Those things are like about the size of a bottle cap.
Yeah.
And they don't weigh a lot. That's why they cost a couple of quid. Right, wouldn't kill him. Also, if he is brown bread dead, who uploaded the video, Tom? Who uploaded it to his website?
It's a spooky video blog.
Was it one of these, like, does he have one of these systems where it automatically uploads his
Oh, yeah, was he just recording live?
This is 2010. They should have known better than this. The internet was not a new little baby thing in 2010. I was stealing music off the internet in 2010.
Yeah.
Like, people should know how video works.
It's dumb as balls, man. It's not good.
I wish that bit was a spooky dream.
Yeah, and so then they're trying to find out, like, what happened. Like, what Freddie is trying to show Marcus, the video blogger. And we get this bit where Quentin is going swimming. Yeah,
this is what we thought from the trailer was the pool party. It's not a pool party.
It's
just at a pool. Yeah,
it's just a pool, and he goes swimming, and he does really well. I mean, he doesn't win the race, but he beats his personal best. And you know, it's like the first Rocky. It's just like about being like happy with your own performance. You know, you don't necessarily get the goal.
Oh my god, Todd!
It's a spooky fucking dream. He falls asleep in the middle of the pool, and then he comes out in like this industrial estate, and he dreams a flashback of Freddy getting killed. So you've got Clancy Brown, the Kurganator, Mr. Krabs himself. He's chasing down Clancy Brown with a load of the other Elm Street parents. Freddy runs into this boiler room, and it's the bit we saw from the trailer where he's like, I didn't do it, and all that. And like, yeah, like then Mr. Krabs is like, I'll get you, Plankton. Throws like this petrol bomb in, burns everything up. Freddy has to take his coat off to show that he's got a red jumper because, you know.
He's getting warm because he's being burned to death. He's like, better take my coat off.
Yeah, yeah. And so then Quentin is kind of like, oh, shit, my dad is Mr. Krabs and he did it all along. I better go and have it out with him. And then he's like, oh, that's right, I did it. Oh, he was a bad lad.
Yeah, so then Quentin and Mr. Krabs and Nancy have this kind of chat about like, Mr. Krabs, aka the Kurgan, he's like, you would have done it for your kids as well. You would have done it for your kids. He storms off. And Quentin and Nancy, they're like, don't you see? They killed Freddy because we made up those stories about him molesting us.
Because Freddy was saying that he didn't do it. And this is the point where me and Todd are going like, oh, is this the twist that like, Freddy is like he's seeking revenge because he was wrongfully murdered.
And you don't cast Clancy Brown unless you want like just someone really menacing. So we're like, Clancy Brown was the real perpetrator.
Yeah.
He was the one leading charge. He framed poor, innocent, like playful young man Freddy Krueger, who's now reaping his revenge. Brilliant plot twist.
Yeah, so then we're like, okay, things are looking up. Then Freddy sends Nancy to the hospital in a spooky dream.
Oh, spooky dream.
Yeah, spooky dream. He comes in the spooky dream and gives her a bit of a scratch. Spooky dream. Goes there, like, you know, the nurses try and, like, put her to sleep with some drugs. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. Spooky dream. Freddy jumps out.
Bunch of shit happens.
Quentin steals a load of adrenaline. They bust out of the hospital. And then Quentin's like, let's fuck off, to that school, where you got, like, molested or whatever, probably by my dad, Mr. Krabs, the Kurgan, you know. They go off there. They're just driving down the road. They're listening to Losing My Religion on the radio, as you do. They're just, like, singing along. They're having a really good time. Quentin needs a scratch ball. Oh, fuck! Spooky dream. Freddy pops out in the middle of the road. And this is, you're just kind of like, my God, this is...
Just do something that matters.
It's absolutely relentless. And so they get to the... They find
Kruger's nutty room.
Yeah, they totally Shawshank Redemption it. It was hidden behind a poster all along.
Which is insane because Clancy Brown is in this film, who is the warden from Shawshank Redemption, who is in that scene where they find the escape route behind the poster.
It's all looking up for Clancy Brown being the real villain here. They go into the room. They're looking around. What does Quentin find? He finds a load of Polaroids. What are they of?
Well, we do not see them, but we find out from the characters looking at them that they are of a much younger Nancy, and they are very shocking indeed. They're very shocking.
Very shocking, and what is really shocking, Quentin says, is like, damn it, Kruger wasn't trying to kill us because he didn't do it. He's trying to kill us because he did do it. Dun, dun, dun! So it was Freddy all along?
The twist is that Freddy Krueger is the bad guy. Let that sink in. That's the surprise ending of this film. The Freddy Krueger is the baddie.
Are you shitting me, film?
I wish I could tell you that this bit is a spooky dream. Alas.
No, it's not a spooky dream. We've missed... There was a load of other spooky dreams that happened before this. But
spared you.
One of those spooky dreams, they do the thing where like they go, I've got a bit of Freddy's jumper. That means that I must be able to pull Freddy into the real world because that's how jumpers work. So then, like, Nancy and Quentin both fall asleep in Freddy's nutty room, right? To try and... trap him, yeah?
It's the plan, yeah.
But the thing is that Quentin falls asleep as well as Nancy.
Uh-oh.
So he gets shanked up a bit by old Freddy Krueger. we get like an elongated kind of dream chase sequence between Freddy and Nancy.
Including a bit where Nancy hides in one of those slatted wardrobes and we get a carbon copy of that famous scene from the first Halloween movie. So just like the writers were just going for any horror remake they could. And then they started with Halloween. They found out about the Rob Zombie one and they were like, oh, fine, we'll just stick Freddy in it.
Yeah, that was like, it's so recognizable as being like the scene from Halloween. It's fucking dumb. You get a scene where like Nancy runs down a hallway and this floor all turns into blood.
This bit's amazing. This is my favorite bit.
It's the best time that thing, that gloopy floor, has been done in these films.
Yeah, well, before the sort of, it's always been on the stairs and it's like the stairs are turned out of, made out of like gluey, porridgey kind of thing. In this, she's knee deep in blood, and as she goes down the hall, it gets deeper and deeper. And it's like a little bit, as Tom said while we watched it, it's a little bit like Carrie, because she's like drenched in blood. It's a little bit like The Shining, where the lifts open and all the blood pours out. Unfortunately, it's slightly undercut by Freddy Krueger coming up behind her, and as best he can, because don't forget, he can't really move his lips properly, he says the classic line, "How's that for a wet dream?" Which almost would be funny, but A, it's not funny. B, it's not really meant to be a funny moment or a funny film. And C, he said that before in another film where there was the death in the waterbed.
Yeah. Also, the death in the waterbed was to a boy who would have actually had wet dreams.
Yes!
You know, like, Nancy's probably like, it doesn't quite work that way.
You've clearly got a lot to learn about women. Just as she drowns in blood.
Yeah. Sick burn on Freddy. And then... So this all... It then gets very creepy with... Because, like, Freddy in this, he's not a child murderer like he was in the original. He's a paedophile. And you get this scene where he finally gets his hands on Nancy. She's dressed in, like, the little girl's dress that he liked. He's got her trapped, stuck to the bed. And there's this whole bit where, earlier in the film, where they were talking about the effects of sleep deprivation. And they talk a lot about like having micro sleeps. If you've been awake for a certain amount of time, your brain just starts trying to reset and like having micro sleeps, which is why they keep on seeing Freddy all the time, even when they are awake. Okay, that's cool. Nice little bit of like pseudoscience tied in there with that.
Yeah.
And then after a while, if you stay sleep deprived for so long, your brain just goes into a coma.
And you'll never wake up.
And you'll never wake up. So this is the whole thing, that Freddy's plan was like Nancy was his favourite. And he's been trying to scare the shit out of her so much so that she stays awake so long that she eventually just falls into a coma. And then he's got her in the dream world forever. And then he's not going to kill her. He's just going to do horrible things to her.
Yeah. And so, this is super creepy. And there's a bit where she's on the bed and he's explained to her, you're never going to wake up now. You're never going to wake up. This is you and me forever. And he leans over and he goes, my mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes.
My mind's telling me no.
Makes it extra creepy by putting like an R. Kelly reference in there, doesn't it? Fuck. And then he's like, do you think your boyfriend's going to be able to wake you up? Well, actually, yeah, he probably is, because he's got a syringe full of adrenaline and he's about to recreate maybe a scene from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, you know that really famous Pulp Fiction scene where they put the adrenaline in
straight into her chest. Yeah, they do that. And then she wakes up. And then that kind of my favourite Freddy bit of the film happens, where they just have like a proper scrap with Freddy.
Oh, because she grabs him out of the dream with the adrenaline. Yes. She does the whole thing of like pulling the syringe out of the chest, just like Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
But then she's like, she doesn't fuck about. She's like ready to scrap. And they have a proper punch up, like an actual just like, I'm going to punch you in the face fight with Freddy.
And so this is good, because this is the thing that you don't get as much of as you would think in the films, of Freddy like menacing and lunging with that razor hand and like really using it to like, not just as something that he waggles around. Like it's like a deadly weapon. So this bit is good. And then Nancy chops his hand off with like this big sharp fucking thing. That's pretty cool.
It's all right, yeah.
And then she says, welcome to my world, bitch, and slashes his throat. That's cool. That was the ending of the last film. That was the ending of Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they've ticked a box for like pretty much every Elm Street movie. and a bunch of other really, really popular horror movies as well along the way.
Yeah, that was a little bit weak. I thought you could have had a bit more of a zinger. And then they're gonna fuck off. And then Nancy's like, you know what? Burn him.
Which is a good idea. And they burn him. And then they leave the nutty room to burn.
Mm.
Then we end up with one last scene, which is just Nancy going to see her mum. And her mum sort of comes home and is like, is everything all right? Like, you look really unwell. And mum's like, and Nancy's just like, oh, I've just been through this horrible experience. Tells her all about it. And Nancy's mum says, well, Nancy, there's something I've got to tell you. You are an immortal. You come from a long line of immortals, and the Kurgan will be chasing you. And the only way to take you down is to chop off your...
Oh, God.
It was a spooky dream. No, actually, Freddy appears behind her in the mirror and kills her with his claw, which doesn't make sense because he's dead. But, like, she's dead now, too.
Yeah, but then also, like, were they asleep? Who was asleep? Was Nancy asleep? Was Nancy's mum asleep? If Nancy was asleep, can Nancy's mum die in the dream? It was a CGI kill. I don't care what anybody says. CGI just is not as scary as practical effects. And then the credits roll to Cool Mo D. Want me to get him? Well, I got him. My mouth is an Uzi, and I shot him.
Oh god, it doesn't run to Cool Mo D.
But
it's just like some classical shit.
It's
Dream.
So they use that song in the earlier in the film, and it's quite nice and spooky. Not as spooky as Cool Mo D.
And it's important to say, I think, that this like mum shock ending with all its CGI. Mm. It's so bloody. It's the bloodiest kill of the film. Like, the claws go through the back of her head.
Out her eyes.
And you see, like, her eyeballs pop out of their sockets. Yeah. It's brutal. It just kind of looks like shit. But then, don't forget, in the first film, they ended that by having, like, a rubber inflatable version of the mum that Freddy, like, dragged through a tiny little window in the door in broad daylight. That was so much scarier, and that really looked like shit.
Yes. Yeah. But that's it. That is the end of Freddy.
Would you describe it as being bitter, this end, Tom?
I think it was a bit of a bitter end. I feel they just muffed it. They just muffed it right up, didn't they?
It was a bit of a misstep. They couldn't decide if they wanted to pay homage to the original...
Mm.
Or if they wanted to change it. They tried to do both, and they pleased neither party, I feel.
Mm. By neither party, you mean you and me.
Yeah. But still, we made it, Tom. We're at the bitter
We've
end
done it.
Of season five. High five.
No one can take that away from us. Unless they make another film and then we don't watch it.
There's no way I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I definitely will. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of a sad one, this one, because it just... There was promise in there, but they did not deliver. The fucking amount of spooky fake out dream shit was too much. And it was Freddy all along. Yeah. Yeah, of course it was.
What tipped you off?
I thought they were going to be like brave and be like really change up like what Freddy was.
It was Clancy Brown.
Yeah, I thought they were really going to change some stuff up. They obviously went away from like him being a murderer to a paedophile, which it was always implied. So like the whole thing is like, well, why did he have his razor hand? You know?
Yeah.
It seemed like it was something that he used on the kids, but like what, in a sexual way? But obviously they don't delve into that because that's too dark. But so it's just kind of like, well, what was the deal with the fucking hand?
Yeah, man.
He's not just like some like kooky murderer who's like, well, this looks pretty cool, doesn't it? I'm proper knifey.
I don't know. And I do miss Bobby, Captain Bobby UK. Mm. I miss him.
Yeah, much missed. Did like seeing Clancy Brown in there. Was not enough of him.
Never is.
Never.
No matter how much you get, it's never enough.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just it's done. I don't know. What do you think at home? What do you think?
Well, do let us know. For those of you who have gone through this as your first season of The Bitter End, just to explain, what's going to happen yet is we're not done talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. We'll do a franchise wrap-up, which will come after this, where me and Tom are going to do a whole episode without watching a movie where we just talk about the whole ball of wax, all in one go, as well as a few other things that are not movies, like books, toys, video games, like everything.
Whatever there is out there.
Everything peripheral to Freddy, and we'll do some reflections then. So if you share your thoughts with us now on Twitter at BitterEndPod or on Facebook at BitterEndPod, then, you know, we'd love to hear them and we'll factor those into the wrap-up. And what will then happen on that, at the end of that wrap-up is we'll announce what franchise we're going to be covering for Season 6.
Ooh, doggy.
We are pretty sure we've decided what it's going to be, and we hope you are as excited about it as we are.
Yeah, so, yeah, tune in for that one. So I guess there's nothing really left for us to do now. I mean, what do you fancy doing? Just, like, maybe we could go to the pub, like, have a few drinks, maybe go to a cocktail bar. I'm feeling a bit classy. We could do that. And then, like, maybe go check out a show.
Oh, yeah.
Something
nice.
Like that. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Like, how late is it? We could maybe go up to London. Maybe see if we could go and see, like, the Book of Mormon or something like that. That'd be nice. And we could go out afterwards. Maybe see if we can get into the Groucho Club or something like that. Going, you know, I think we should just go big ball in it because we've reached the bitter end for, like, you know, like, the end of season.
It was a spooky dream, wasn't it?
It was a spooky dream.
Tom, are you ready to watch the remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street from 2010. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I think I've got a good feeling about it.
All right, let's go. Let's get ready to watch it.
All right,
here we go, guys. We're going in.
Bye.